Hello, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, John, am I on? All right. It's great to be with you and having the opportunity to bring the Word of God to you. This is a special time of year for the Christian church as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the hope of the world. You're probably wondering, what do elders do, right? So let me just clear that up, okay? Despite what Pastor Daniel says, elders teach, you know, elders preach, and they pray. And they have responsibility for shepherding the church and the spiritual life of the church. And so we have oversight of all of those things. And it's a privilege and an honor to serve next to Pastor Daniel. I'd like to thank you, Daniel, for all the time and the effort and that you put in to guiding this church. And it gives us all hope. So this is Elders Month, so I'm the first elder that will speak to you today. Afterwards, next week, Elder Steve will be speaking. After that, Pastor Doug, and then finishing up the month will be Pastor Daniel. And so that's our schedule for the day. But hope, that is our topic for today. Hope of Jesus. You know, you hear a lot of hope. The word hope is thrown around quite a bit in our society. What is hope? Do you hope in an iPad? Do you hope in a new car? Do you hope in a raise? But a hope that's not sure is not hope at all. It's fake hope. It's like fake news. We hear about fake news all the time, but there is fake hope out there, you know. So our hope in the Christian church, in the way of God, is when you are assured of what is going to happen, that is true hope. And that's what we're going to focus on tonight. Jesus has a lot to say about hope. So, something I found on the internet. Did you know that Jesus was on Twitter? Look at this. 12 followers so far. Sweet. Now, in reality, the greatest person to follow is Jesus. Jesus doesn't need Twitter. You know, Twitter is an application that you put on your iPhone, and it's a glorified group text, right? So I think our president has over 42 million followers, but that pales in comparison to Jesus, who has billions of followers.
Yes.
He doesn't need Twitter, all right? Okay, so that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on, and especially if you take when Jesus was born, in the past 2,000 years, and you add up all the saints that have gone to heaven, we're talking multiple billions of people that follow Jesus. So, you know, Twitter is kind of minor. All right, faith and hope. The last time I spoke to you, I was talking about faith. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Lost from what? Lost from truth. Okay, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know truth. If you don't know Jesus, you won't be successful in this world. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I'm so thankful the Father sent Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. And so what is the difference between faith and hope? Let's start at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But now faith, hope, and love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. You know, coming from a software engineering background, I like to put things in little categories, right? It says faith. I like to put faith over here. I put hope over here in this little category. And over here I put in love. And then I didn't understand it until I found out that all three work together.
Yes.
You can't separate faith. Without faith, you won't have hope. Without hope, you don't have love. All three work together. And when I figured that out, I was so excited. So sure, we have saving faith. But the more we study the Word of God, the more we know it, the more hope we have. And hope is that future, that eternal life, that is guaranteed that we will have when we get to heaven. But here we are on earth, but we have that guarantee of a future, of a positive future. And that's hope. We have faith. It's great, and we need to study faith. But out of faith comes the hope. No matter what trials come in our way, we have a solution. We have Jesus, and we have Jesus with us. In hope, here's a definition of hope. from a counselor, June Hunt. Hope is an assured promise, whereas faith is acting on that promise. In other words, faith is hope put into action. Acting in faith is necessary so that our hope is not merely a mental concept, but rather a truly living hope, a guaranteed hope that becomes a reality when we experience an anchored life. Not only are we assured, but we have a living hope, a living. Jesus is living within us. We have that living hope. It's not just man-made hope, but I hope something will happen. As Christians, we know what's going to happen. We know we have eternal life, and we know we're going to end up in heaven. Now that's hope that I like. Yes. That's an anchored hope. The Apostle Peter knows a lot about hope. The Apostle Peter was a fisherman. He was a businessman. That's all he knew. He knew about accounts payables and accounts receivables and making payroll and, oh my, I know that we didn't catch any fish tonight and all that kind of stuff. He knows how when he's not making profit, he knows when he is profit, but he didn't know much about Jesus. But look, after Peter following Jesus for years, look at the wisdom that he gave. Peter went from ignorance to wisdom. Listen to this, 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. This is the living hope, an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. Now, I think your iPad will fade away. Not much hope in that, okay? It will disintegrate eventually. A new car, not much hope in that long term. But the hope of eternal life, it's guaranteed. It's an inheritance, an imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. Doesn't that give you hope? That gives you hope for the future. Well, we know that hope begins with Jesus. And when Jesus started his ministry, the very first thing that he wanted to show us and demonstrate to us was the hope that he gives to people. At that time, people had no hope. What were they hoping for? So there's a story in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Hope begins with Jesus. Not only does Jesus introduce hope, he demonstrates hope. He takes a natural situation, and I love the stories. I love the stories of the Bible because I can see myself in him. I can see myself in Peter's shoes because Peter was so emotional. You know, he didn't seem to really get things right much. But in the end, he did because he continued to follow Jesus and study his word. And as a result, he had great faith and great hope. They worked together. Let's look at this story here in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. He sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night and caught nothing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled their boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had just taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. There's three things out of this story. There's lots going on here, but there's three things about hope that Jesus wants us to know this morning and to concentrate on. The very first thing is Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you where you are. Luke 5:2. Jesus said here, he saw at the water's edge two boats. They were left by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Do you know that Jesus sees you where you are right now? These boats that they're talking about is really symbolic of our lives. Whatever you, where you are in your life, Jesus sees you. Isn't that great to know that God sees every single one of you? Doesn't that create great hope? This is the first thing, his first ministry. He's calling out his disciples for the first time. And he's showing us, hey, I saw Peter. I saw John. I saw Andrew. I see you. And he sees you now. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The hope of us all is Jesus is the one doing the seeking, right? We partner with him as born-again Christians to actually preach the Word of God so people can hear it, but it's Jesus and the Holy Spirit that draws people. Yes. Billions of people all over the world, he's drawing us. And that means there's hope for everyone in the world. It's not exclusive. There's hope for everyone, everyone you see. The second thing Jesus wants us to see about hope is Jesus is with you. Luke 5:3. Jesus got into one of the boats belonging to Simon and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. With Jesus in your life, Jesus is sitting down with you. Not only he sees you, but he sits down with you and guides you and encourages you and builds you up. That means there's a hope for you. There's a hope for you. In Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. It says here in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you. It isn't I might. It isn't maybe tomorrow. He's instructing you now. What great hope is that? And I will teach you the way you should go. That gives us great hope for the future. A third thing Jesus wants to show us about hope, besides Jesus sees you and Jesus is with you, Jesus guides you. Luke 5:11. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Hope for a better future. That's what this is. You know, when Peter saw the miracle that happened, Jesus said, you know, throw your nets over on the side of the boat. And they were filled so much that it had took two boats, and they were filling up and overflowing. Well, you know, right before that, Jesus said, just push out a few feet from the shore so I can teach the people. He wasn't in the middle of Lake Gennesaret. He was just a few feet out. So Peter knew that that was a miracle, and he knew the Messiah had arrived. What great hope Peter had at that point. It is absolutely amazing. But here we have Jesus guiding us. In Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God has given you a future hope because of Jesus. When we believe in his word, there is a hope for the future, no matter what issues of life, no matter what trials that you are going through. Which brings us to this. Why do we have trials? Why do we have hardships? There's a reason for it. I have noticed in the human condition that we're either in trouble, just getting out of trouble, or just about ready to get into trouble again. That's what I've noticed about the human condition. And then the whole cycle repeats all over again. So what are you going to base your rock on? You know, man's ways, which change from day to day? Or God's ways that are rock solid, always the same, principles that never change. Now that's a hope for the future. Yes. We all have problems, we all have issues, right? But when we look at Jesus, his word that never changes and is locked like a rock, we can always depend on that. And that gives us hope. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But, I like this one, I like the but. Take heart, I have overcome the world. We've overcome the world with Jesus and His Holy Spirit living within us. No matter what is going on, we are going to overcome it. Why? Because Jesus said so. I really enjoy talking to the Forerunners group. They're great. 50 and above. You know why? Because they've been through a thing or two. There's this ad on TV. Okay, I don't know if you've seen it, Farmers. And see, they know a thing or two because they've seen a thing or two.
Yeah.
Have you heard about that?
Yes.
Okay, they know a thing or two because they've seen a thing or two. So, and then Farmers has this museum about, you know, elks crashing into RVs, and we've covered it, right? Everything's covered. All right. But you know Jesus has got everything covered too.
Yes.
No matter what issue, you may not have an elk crashing into your RV. But you have an elk crashing into something else. You know, something else is crashing into your life. What are you going to depend on? You're going to depend on your own ways, your own mind? No, you're going to depend on the Word of God.
Yes.
I have a friend at work that's always threatening to quit because he doesn't like his boss. That's it. Everybody's like that, right? except for me, right? Everybody likes working for me. But I said, you don't make a decision based on emotion. You make a decision on the principles of God.
Yes.
That's how you make your decisions. You quit, and that means you're not going to be able to feed your family. And that's a sin. Oh, okay. So you follow, even though you're emotionally invested and you're upset, humble yourself before the Lord and pray and ask for a change. In Mark 4:35, we have an example of trouble, but overcoming it. That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. So we got an issue here. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care about if we drown?" So Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Be still, quiet." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. What do these trials? This was a huge trial, right? Can you imagine being in a boat with waves crashing over top of you? That's a real problem, right? But you know what? In your lives too, sometimes it feels like you're in a boat that has waves crashing over you, right? You know, but Jesus is in the boat with you. He sees you, and He's with you, and He's guiding you every part of the way. And so with the trials, it forces us to depend on Jesus. There's three results of hope that the Lord wants us to look at this morning. And these results are this. Through our trials and tribulations, there are certain things that are then developed within our lives. The first one is confidence. Your experience assurance. You experience assurance because of God's hope within you. Psalm 71:5, "For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my birth." So with all these trials and tribulations and depending on the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what situation you're going into, you have confidence because you know Jesus is going to bring you through it and He's going to teach you from it. I really enjoyed talking with Pastor Doug. You know why? Because he's been through some trials. And God has given him wisdom. And so you go to people who have been through trials and has wisdom because of those trials. And so there's a reason for trials, because He doesn't want us to stay babies. He doesn't want us to stay immature. He wants us to get to the point where no matter what trial comes our way, what tribulation comes our way, we have focused, complete confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, and He's with us, and He's going to solve us, and we're going to get through it. And you know what? When you get through that problem, guess what? You can help somebody else get through it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's the way it works. The second result of hope Jesus wants us to see is cheerfulness. You experience joy because of God's hope within you. Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." We're joyful. We know that we're going to have a good outcome, no matter what it is. And so we have patience, we have hope, as long as we stay in faithful prayer. And finally, comfort. You experience comfort because God's unfailing love for you. Psalm 33:22, may your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. God said he would never leave you or forsake you, no matter what you're going through. Therefore, you experience comfort. So we have confidence, we have cheerfulness and joy, and we have comfort because of the hope that we have in Jesus. So how do you put your hope in Jesus? Well, we've got three L's of hope. We put our hope in Jesus. Number one, linger on this fact. Every day, God will be faithful to you. And that's a promise. Lamentations 3:23, the Lord says this, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. The Lord's always faithful.
Yes.
Even when we're not faithful. Even when we want to go our own way. The Lord is still faithful. He's in that boat with you. He sees you, he's with you, and he's guiding you. Let's focus on Jesus. The second thing the Lord wants us to know about putting hope in Jesus is lean on this truth to receive hope for your heart. Lamentations 3:23, the Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. If we seek him, he's good to us. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great promise?
Yes.
We have lots of opportunities in this church to seek him. And when we seek him, he's good to us. And the last thing he wants us to know is labor in prayer. Listen to this story. Luke 22. Jesus went out as usual. Jesus prays all the time. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus sees us in our prayer life. He knows that there's these situations, in this case a cup, cup representing trouble and trial. It's okay to say, Jesus, take this cup from me. Give it to somebody else. There's no guilt in doing that. I think I say that every day. But you know what? It's not my will, but your will. If it's God's will for us to go through this trial, then there's a reason for it. He's building you up. He's strengthening you. And he wants you to depend on the Word of God. You know, Jesus sees you. Jesus is with you. Jesus guides you. He's our rock that never changes.
Yes.
You know, Living Way Church offers lots of opportunity to grow in faith. And when we grow in faith, we grow in hope for the future. We have a super prayer ministry here, you know, led by Diane Hickox. Get involved. We have pre-service prayer, 8:30 in the morning. And we pray for the service and the people in here. We have an altar ministry. We are here for you. That's what the elders do. That's what the prayer team does. We serve you. Why? Because we want you built up and strengthened so that whatever storm comes your way, you will have hope that you'll overcome it. We have Berean Bible College. It starts on Monday. Pastor Bobby, he is a great warrior, faith warrior, and hope for the future. Get plugged in. Study the Word of God. Get trained up. God will use you. Small groups where people get together during the week. Why? To build your hope. Short-term missions. Daniel said several of them in the bulletin. When you see how the Word of God helps people, it gives you hope. Youth groups, forerunners, men's and women's ministry. And throughout all of this, we know this. Jesus sees you. Jesus is with you, and Jesus guides you. And with hope, you will not be shaken. Psalm 62. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Okay. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock. And my refuge. So this is the real living hope that we have living within us. Jesus Christ sees us. He's with us. He guides us. And so may Jesus richly bless you. And I wish you all a very Merry Christmas. Daniel?